Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast. It is the 11th of April, 2025. I'm Andy Eubank, and the Hat Podcast is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, proudly serving local farms, families, and agribusiness for 140 years. Visit them online, ffbt.com. Eric Pfeiffer and C.J. Miller check in with the news today, including an update on planting season, which will likely have soybeans going in first, and learn about the harm caused by invasive pests here in Indiana. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana farm forecast includes more cold air. And yesterday, it's the April update from USDA. Higher corn and soybean markets rose further after the release. We'll have analysis with Carl Setzer on the Hoosier Ag Today Friday podcast.
At First Farmers, we know that farming takes grit. From unpredictable weather to market fluctuations, our farmers face challenges. Since 1885, we've watched them weather those challenges without fail. That's why we're proud to help power farmers with financial products, services, and expertise built around the seasonal nature of agriculture that lets them continue powering our local communities. Is it time to expand your operation? Visit us at ffbt.com or stop by a local branch to get started. First Farmers Bank and Trust, Equal Opportunity Lender, member FDIC.
Be sure to check your germ rates and invasive pests and plants here in Indiana. I'm Eric Pfeiffer. This is Hoosier Ag Today News. Planting season is upon us. Once soils are fit, planters will hit the fields, and soybeans will likely be the first to go in the ground. Purdue Extension's soybean Sean Castile on the latest Purdue Crop Chat podcast, exclusively from Hoosier Ag Today.
As long as we got something that's pretty close to our target, that 50-degree mark and sunshine's coming, I think we need to be pulling the trigger. I don't like open seed slots. We can get a buy. I know people probably do more than we should and get timely rains to help it to get through that, right? Mm-hmm. So I think, here in the next 10 days, 10 to 14 days, we're probably going to have a lot of beans turning over and getting in the ground.
Castile encourages growers to start looking at their seed bags that are coming in. He says we've got some seed lots that are on the lower side after a hot and dry season last year.
I'm getting calls and I'm getting emails and I'm getting some of my own supply that's running 80 to 85%.
He says soybeans can adapt. You'll just need to adjust your seeding rates.
And I'm normally 140,000 seed rate. Well, that's with 90% germ. Well, now if you had 80% germ, you just need to do the adjustments, right? That's going to put you probably more like 155, 160 if you want to plant the same number of viable seeds.
Another tip from Castile.
If you got these germ lots, these lots that are lower germs, I probably don't want to be planting those first. I think there's probably going to be a little bit of vigor issue. So if you are in more marginal conditions, make sure you're planting the one that's got the germ score. It's a little bit higher. And definitely with the one with the fungicide seed treatment.
Hear more from Soybean Sean and Purdue Extension's Dan Cornquinn in the Purdue Crop Chat in the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. The spotted lanternfly, Asian longhorn beetle, and Japanese honeysuckle. Just a few of the invasive pests and plants you'll find right here in Indiana. C.J. Miller reports on the efforts to make you aware of the harm they can cause.
Invasive insects and plants cause damage to crops, agriculture, and our forest trees.
And that's Catherine Bronski with USDA's Animal Plant Health Inspection Service. She says April is Invasive Plant, Pest, and Disease Awareness Month.
We want to make sure that people are on the lookout for them and also are able to report them if they see any signs of them.
Bronski says you could easily be transporting these pests and not even know about it. She especially warns about the dangers of invasive pests hiding in firewood.
Do not move untreated firewood. For example, do not bring firewood from your own yard to new areas, because wood-boring pests like Asian longhorn beetle or the emerald ash borer can hide inside, and people can accidentally, unknowingly bring them to new areas. So instead, we recommend you buy heat-treated firewood or gather wood on site where it's permitted.
She adds there's a special website you can check out to find out more and report invasive pests.
We recommend you visit hungrypest.com. It's a great website that shows pictures of what these pests and diseases look like. It gives information of where you can look in your own yard and make sure not to spread it to new areas. And it really does make a difference. Americans can do a lot to protect plant health and agriculture nationwide by taking these small steps to look out for them.
You can also learn more about the invasive pests found right here at home at Indiana's Department of Natural Resources website. You can also find that link at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm CJ Miller.
All right, CJ, thanks. Also at HoosierAgToday.com, Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast and the Hoosier Ag Today Podcast Network, where you can find the Purdue Crop Chat we told you about a little while ago, as well as the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast and a host of other Indiana Ag Podcasts. I'm Eric Pfeiffer, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the Board of Directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast. As we take a look at the setup here to finish out the week, that setup includes plenty of cold air, unfortunately, still. Now, the good news is we're going to get better sunshine potential across the entirety of the state than maybe we've seen over the past couple of days. It's been kind of a cloudy, gray period. We're getting more sunshine, but cold Canadian air is entrenched over the Great Lakes and will not be leaving anytime super soon. So for the rest of today and tomorrow, good times to be outside when you're looking out your window. You're probably going to want to bundle up a little bit as you go out. For Sunday, we get south flow in here, and I think our temperatures start to react a little bit. For Indiana, I think we are going to be getting through the entirety of Sunday dry. Yeah, we probably see some clouds to sneak in here, especially up in northern tier counties as some moisture moves across Michigan. But I'm holding off on moisture over the bulk of the Hoosier State until we move it through Monday midday and afternoon. Half an inch or less is likely what most of us see. The band is going to be coming right across central and southern Indiana. Honestly, I think the Hoosier Heartland Corridor south to probably US 50 is going to be that main area that sees moisture, but clouds can come in everywhere on Monday. We stay warm or at least mild on Monday. Cold air comes in behind that moisture. We are chilly for Tuesday, for Wednesday, and even into early Thursday. Temperatures start to moderate Thursday afternoon, just in time for more moisture to come in late Thursday afternoon and evening, right on through Friday. We've got scattered rain showers coming through, anywhere from a tenth to maybe half an inch. Coverage 80% of the Hoosier State, and behind it, guess what? We've got cold air that wants to park over the top of us for Friday night and into Saturday morning. But I think Saturday afternoon and Sunday of the Easter weekend are going to turn out decent, good sunshine, and I don't think that we're too chilly, especially on Easter Sunday. Going into the week following Easter, we're getting a little more active. I think we have two chances at moisture that week. One of them can be a little bit on the heavier side. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Every piece of equipment tells a story. The combine that helped build a family farm. The excavator that shaped communities. These aren't just machines. They're chapters in someone's journey. At Purple Wave Auction, we understand that selling your equipment means trusting us with your legacy. And when you're buying, you're not just getting a machine, you're becoming part of this continuing story. From farm to farm, job site to job site, we help write the next chapter. Purple Wave Auction, the easiest and most straightforward way to buy and sell equipment.
Gains in corn and soybeans on report day, a sell-off in wheat. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Farm Market Review. All the final numbers coming up. We'll begin, though, with market analysis. I grabbed it near the end of the session from Carl Setzer of Consus Ag Consulting. Corn and soybeans on Thursday higher before the USDA noon Eastern Time report, and then those markets went even higher than that following the update. So, Carl, we can say a bit of a friendly report from USDA on Thursday. Please detail what they had to say, and were you surprised by the market reaction?
I was surprised by the market reaction that we saw today, Andy, but not necessarily from the data that came out from the USDA. The one shining spot in the entire report was U.S. corn carryout coming down 75 million bushels this month to 1.465 billion bushels. Trade expecting that 1.51. We had 1.54 last month. Trade increasing our exports by 100 million bushels this month, trimming feed demand by 25 million bushels. Trade questioning that one a little bit, but nonetheless, the 75 million bushel cut to ending stocks, a good number there, taking us a little bit closer to where we might have to do some rationing in the complex. And that gave us a pretty friendly response in the futures. Soybeans, really not much of a change there. We only cut carryout by 5 million bushels this month to a 375 million bushel total. USDA saying that we will likely see elevated crush as we move through the last half of the marketing year and tariffs start to take their effect on the market. There is some concern we could see soybean exports slow, but we will also see a decline in vegetable oil imports out of the Asian market, mainly that used cooking oil out of China. And to wrap it up, wheat, we saw a 27 million bushel increase to carry out this month, coming in 846 million bushels, mainly from a decline in export forecasts. All in all, it was a pretty friendly report. Wheat taking a little bit of a hit because of the increase to carry out. Also, trade looking at maybe some reduced wheat exports as we move through the year, especially into that Chinese market.
Trade war aside, and we'll get to that in a moment, but trade war aside, if that was not an issue, how long could the residual effect of this report last?
I think this one might start to wake trade up a little bit more to the actual fundamentals and shock the market, so to speak, Andy. We've been void of fresh fundamental news for a few weeks here. Now we've started to see our flash sales pick up and the true fundamentals coming back into play. We're also going to see a little bit more interest in the April numbers as we move through the month. May, the next WASD report that'll come out, one of the biggest ones of the year because it has that first look at the official new crop balance sheets, tends to keep the April numbers a little bit more pertinent and a little longer than most months.
Now, the trade war is real. It's happening. It's really an all-out trade war, and it's affecting the ags to a certain degree at least. Certainly, it's affecting the equities, crude oil, and other markets. What's your take?
Yeah, we're kind of in a little bit of a regrouping mode in the outside markets. We got whipsawed yesterday. The indices broke hard in the morning. Rallied back, incredible closes across the board. Today, we're giving quite a bit of those gains back again. The U.S. upped its tariffs against China. We are now at a 145% tariff on China. Economists have stepped out to say that we are now at a point where basically we are going to just shut down trade on a whole. That has concerned the market both from an investor side and from the Main Street side, as consumers are starting to balk a little bit at this trade war development, causing the U.S. dollar to collapse, which is actually a little bit better because it'll help our some of our export taxes will be offset by that for our trade. But at the same time, we have crude oil falling really hard here, down over $2.50 a barrel, below $60. That's a little bit worrisome from the renewable fuel production side, but the equities really taking a thumping here this afternoon going into the close. Red meat starting to pick up on it too, especially our cattle complexes. Managed money bailing out of their positions along with uncertain demand into that Asian market have us posting sizable losses in cattle. Hogs able to regroup a little bit. Don't expect the tariffs to impact our hog exports and our pork exports near as much as the cattle.
Carl Setzer, Consus Ag Consulting. His number is 989-506-1587. The markets are powered by Purple Wave Auction. Purple Wave makes buying and selling used ag equipment easy. For information, visit purplewave.com. On the Hat Thursday market review, up 9 cents on the close for the May corn.
corn contract, 483, July, 488 and three quarters, a gain of 8 1/4, and December also went 3 1/2 higher to 454 and a quarter. 16 1/4 better, May beans, 1029, July, 1036 and three quarters, a gain of 13 1/4. Novi up 7 3/4 at 1004 and three quarters. May wheat, 538, that was down 4 1/4, July down 2 1/4, 553 1/2. And the meats split today. June live cattle, 195.20, down 317. June lean hogs, though, up $1.47, 93.17. I'm Andy Eubank with the Thursday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.